Life Audio.
Hi, I'm Emma Danzi, and welcome to Her Many Hats podcast, where we explore how women wear many hats while serving one God. Whatever role you are fulfilling, the Lord is using you in incredible ways. Let's take some time to seek the scriptures and learn how we can best honor Christ with the hats that we wear. Hey friends, welcome back to Her Many Hats podcast, where we are currently exploring the hat of neighbor. Today, I have an amazing special guest with us. Her name is Hannah Nelson. Hannah, say hi.
Hey, everyone.
Hannah, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about where you live and just a little bit about you and your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is Hannah Nelson. I have been married for almost 5 years to my husband, Sam. He is a young adults pastor at a church called Providence here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we are not Raleigh natives. We're both originally from a Northern Virginia area, but we came here to Raleigh about 3 years ago and we love it. And so I work as an executive assistant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So I just get to assist churches and leaders all across the state of North Carolina in their mission to share the gospel and disciple believers all over North Carolina. So it is a really, really sweet job. I love it.
That's so awesome. Hannah and I, we met a little over probably like 6 or 7 years ago now.
Yeah.
When we were in college, we were both in the music and worship department. And I think we were probably working on projects together at some point. And it was just really special because when my husband and I were shortly in Raleigh, we walked into a church and like the first Sunday there, Hannah said, "Emma?" And it was just so encouraging to know that we had friends in a new place and that we were immediately welcomed in. So I love that about Hannah, and her and her husband are amazing worship leaders and just really involved in the community of Raleigh and just completely open to see what the Lord would do with them. And I think a big part of that for y'all has been being neighbors and allowing the Lord to use that in a mighty way as an evangelistic tool. So Hannah, first, I just would love for you to tell us a little bit more about the specific apartment ministry that you and Sam were involved in for multiple years.
We worked for a faith-based nonprofit called Apartment Life. And the goal of Apartment Life is that they help apartment owners care for residents by connecting them in relationships. There are many studies that show that residents that feel connected in their apartment communities are more likely to stay. And so that's a huge thing that apartment owners want to see, is that residents that stay and that there isn't a high turnover rate. So this in turn helps improve the community's financial performance through online reputation, resident satisfaction, resident retention, all these things. So my husband, Sam, and I, we coordinated monthly resident events to connect residents with one another. So, I mean, this included anything from food trucks, game nights, pool parties, fitness events, coffee tastings, breakfast bars, craft nights. I mean, you name it, we probably did it as an event at so our apartment fun. Community, which was super fun. But it also gave us just a unique opportunity to meet and interact with residents that we probably wouldn't have met otherwise. I think it's really common now for us to just kind of get to our apartment, get to the door, maybe say hi, you know, in the hallway. But it's not as normal to have a full conversation with your neighbors. But these events created unique opportunities for people to connect, to ask deeper questions, to have conversation with their neighbors. And we found that people were actually wanting that, that they did want to connect with one another, but they didn't really have the opportunities to do so. And so people that came to these events were really hungry for that community, for wanting to talk to people. And so, and it wasn't just us they were connecting with, they were connecting with one another as well.
Nice. So that's really cool. Was the Apartment Life, it's not faith-based, is that correct?
It is faith-based.
It is faith-based. Wow.
It is a faith-based nonprofit. Yeah. And so, and that's known, but apartment owners see just the value that it brings to connecting people in relationships.
So that's really cool. Is that a possibility maybe for someone listening to start in their apartment complex, or is there a way for them to get connected that we can include?
Yes, absolutely. So the website is really simple. It's just apartmentlife.org. And you can go there. They're in a lot of many major cities across the country. And you can apply to be an Apartment Life team. There's coordinators in a lot of major cities across the country. And if there's not one, you can connect with someone nearby and maybe be part of starting that in your area.
That's so amazing and so practical. And I love that it's organic, because a lot of times relationships can feel forced, but instead of people feeling uncomfortable to make that first step, we can create a space where they feel more comfortable to come and join in and come with us and be a part of an event, and then slowly start to build more relationship and community. I think Jesus himself did a lot of just regular day-to-day getting to know others type of ministry that we don't even see in the scriptures that we've been given the full picture of what he did. But a lot of it, we notice he was relational and he built those friendships and those communities. And even though he was maybe in a place for just a certain amount of time, while he was there, he saw it as a mission field. And I think whether we're in an apartment complex or in a neighborhood for, you know, a year or a whole lifetime, that God has intentionally placed us there to be a witness and a light. Whether someone is in an apartment, Hannah, or a townhouse, or maybe a farm, or just a regular suburban neighborhood, what would you suggest are the most effective ways in building relationships that last with those around them?
Yeah, so kind of like exactly what you were saying, Emma, I think the best way is to just think of ways to invite people into your daily rhythms. And Jesus modeled this so well in having spiritual conversations while he was doing everyday tasks, while he was walking, going to the temple, going to the market, eating a meal. And if you aren't meeting your neighbors in your current rhythms, create rhythms that allow for this. One of those that's been really helpful for me is walking. We have a dog, so naturally I walk him. I walk him around our neighborhood twice a day. And I did this when we lived in an apartment, and I do this now that we live in a home in a neighborhood. And this has absolutely by far been the best way to meet our neighbors, whether they're out walking their dog or they're out working in the yard or getting the mail, or do they, you know, it is the best way to stop and say, hey, I'm Hannah. I don't think we've met before. I just moved in down here or wherever. And, you know, if you don't have a dog, take a walk with your kids or your spouse or even on your own, you know, like it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be a time that you use to pray for your neighbors, that, you know, as you're walking and just praying for opportunities. If you're walking around praying for an opportunity to talk to one of your neighbors, I can guarantee that God is going to open a door for that to happen.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because when my husband Drew and I moved into this house that we're in now, we met a neighbor quickly, and that neighbor was asking us, so do you have a dog? And we had said no, because we don't have a dog. And he said, oh, well, a lot of us walk our dogs around the neighborhood. And so it does, walking around, putting yourself in that the place to be able to meet them. Yeah. Because if we just go in, like you said, and shut the door, then we're going to miss the opportunity to start a relationship. I love that. Yeah. So if you're listening and have a dog, or just want to walk with your kids, that's a great point. You know, never let having children keep you away from going to connect with neighbors, because they can make really great neighborhood friends. I remember I had great neighborhood friends as a child. So getting out together as a family is a great idea.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
What is a story of how the Lord connected you with a specific neighbor that you would share with us? And what did that teach you?
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, we have tons of stories, but one that really sticks out to me is when we lived in an apartment, we befriended a couple who had recently sold their home. So we were, you know, in an apartment home yet, but they were kind of, they had just sold their home and downsized and moved into an apartment. Wow. And then this couple was probably at our parents' age, maybe a little bit older, but we just quickly became friends with them over the next several years. Their kids were older and didn't live nearby. And so they came to a lot of our events. We just seemed to hit it off. We went out to dinner several times. They watched our dog for us. They, you know, we watered their plants when they went away on long trips. We just ended up, you know, doing favors for each other. And then the husband actually fell pretty seriously ill at one point. Mm. And because of all that, that friendship that we'd built up over time of just dinners and caring for each other, they felt comfortable and asking for help. And we were able to help them through his pretty severe illness for a while and just kind of serving them, helping them with a lot of things. And it opened the door for some great spiritual conversations. They started watching our church services online, especially during COVID. They didn't feel as comfortable coming in person, but they really enjoyed watching our church services online, especially when, you know, you mentioned that Sam and I like to serve on our worship team. That is a great way. If you serve in any capacity, you know, hey, come and see, you know, I'm going to be singing on Sunday morning, you know, watch online or come and see, you know, that kind of thing is a great opportunity. And they loved that. And it opened up great conversations for us to have with, and we're still in touch with them. We met them probably almost 3 years ago, and we're still in touch with them. So what that taught me too is that, first of all, age is not a barrier. You can be a good neighbor to anyone. You can be, you know, they don't have to be somebody that that's your age. And two, that those things that you do over time that maybe you don't, you know, like, well, we didn't really have a spiritual conversation the first time we took them out to dinner. Well, those things that you're doing are, you know, being a good neighbor, it takes time too. It's those things that you're doing time and time again of, you know, going over and watering their plants for them. And the little things that you're building up that build that relational equity so that when times of trouble come, they reach out and because they know, hey, yeah, they've been there for me, you know, consistently over this time. I know who to ask for help. And so that was a huge thing that we learned in that situation.
That's amazing, especially when we were talking about friends in our last series. We covered multi-generational friendships, but tying that into neighbors as well, because I think a lot of people see that as a barrier because maybe not everyone around them is in the same season of life, but not to allow that to prevent you from reaching out and connecting on some level. And I love that you mentioned consistency, because if you just do that one neighborly thing that one time, that's it.
Right.
But if you continue to have, you know, a great heart for them and show that you're there for them no matter what, then in those times that are hard, they're going to come to you and trust you just like you would to them. And so it's just really beautiful how, whether it's practical things like watering plants or you mentioned the serious illness, you know, that you got to play a role in that and that God was using that and he's still using you in their story, even though they may not live in the same place as you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Hannah, as women, you know, this is a podcast about women wearing many hats and focusing in on the hat of neighbor. We can be super busy with all of our other roles. And so wearing the hat of neighbor can feel easily overwhelming. And so it might fall by the wayside for people. What would you say are some practical tips for regularly incorporating a neighborly focus as a believer in Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the fundamental things to just keep in mind as you're thinking about wearing the hat of being a neighbor is remembering to see people as Christ sees them. And Christ sees everyone as souls, not just people. And I think sometimes what, like you said, when we get busy and we're not thinking, we get in our own lane, right? We're thinking about our family, our immediate family and our needs. Yes. We see people as just, you know, we're as passing by as maybe, you know, and sometimes there's things that neighbors do that bother us or different things, you know? And so, and that can be really difficult. And then we're not really thinking about them as a neighbor, as, you know, someone who's been made in the image of God that has a soul, has an eternity. But I think it also goes back to, like we talked about before, working it into your daily rhythms. It's not an added role because it's already in your daily rhythms, right? Of, you know, when you're outside doing yard work, you see somebody, or when you're walking your dog, because you got to walk your dog, you know, you're talking to somebody. It might add a few extra minutes to your day. But it's definitely worth it because Christ has called us to do it, and it's part of our obedience to him.
Yes, I love that. And just, seeing people as people, not this isn't that they're a project, you know, this is that they're actual human beings that we've been entrusted to live near. And how can we show Christ to them through what we say to them and through how we live? And I love, too, that you just take something as simple as walking or yard work or getting the mail. Yep. And it gives you this mindset of, okay, I can do this. You know, maybe somebody's listening who's, you know, a mom of multiple children and busy and doesn't feel like they have any room to give. Just those small little moments can make such a big impact. Hannah, what are your favorite ways to bring faith into conversation and actions with your neighbors? Because that's ultimately the hope, that these relationships would help us move towards gospel conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, there's lots of different ways or phrases that people might have to bring faith into the conversation. But I think the best way is just sharing and being open about your everyday life. Because as believers, if we're sharing about our lives, Christ is naturally going to come up. You know, if we're talking about the things that we do and the things that we're passionate about, it's going to come up that we're going to church and that we're involved in activities at church. And people are going to wonder, why is that the way that you spend your time? Or why do you parent your children that way? Or why is, you know, why don't you do sports on Sunday mornings or whatever?
Yes.
A funny one is that we host a life group at our house on Tuesday nights. And our neighborhood's pretty small. So when someone has more than 10 people at their house, you notice when there's more cars in the neighborhood kind of thing. And so people, of course, started noticing that every Tuesday night, there was probably like 20 more cars in the neighborhood than usual. And so people ask me, you know, I see a lot of young people coming to your house on Tuesday night. Like, what is that? And so I got to share about, hey, you know, we have people over every Tuesday night. We read the Bible together and we pray for one another and we talk about life together. And for people that don't understand or don't have any history of a faith community, that's like radical to them. And they're like, that's so interesting that all these young people would want to do that. Why is that? And that is an easy way to share the gospel and to talk about faith.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I love that you talked about coming together and studying the Bible and asking questions, because it's important that we ourselves are living that out as we model Christ, but then also being honest that, you know, we're lifetime learners as well in faith, and we're right there with them and creating that authenticity to be able to talk with them about, yeah, like we struggle too. And I'm here for you on your bad days, and that I have bad days too. And I think neighbors sometimes just feel like they've got to stay in their zone, have it all together, you know, make sure their house looks good if they have an HOA, and then that's it.
Yes.
But to be able to kind of also share in just the authentic way of life with each other and the just the ups and downs. And I love that you mentioned the rhythms, because being able to just add in what to the rhythm of what's already happening in life and bring people in. And, you know, maybe some of the, there's a young couple in your neighborhood that could come join the life group one day. You know, you just never know what God's going to do with that.
Yep.
So I love that. Anything else that you have that you want to share about just being a neighbor, or any advice or encouragement to anyone listening who maybe is wanting to take first steps?
Yeah, I would just say a really important thing that I just didn't get to touch on was prayer is an easy first step and an important first step. And just being reminded to pray for your neighbors, and that will change your heart for them and make it easier to reach out as they're on your heart. And God uses that as well. And so, and like we were talking about, remembering that people are souls created in the image of God that are for eternity, and praying for them consistently will remind you of that as well. Obviously, when you first move into a community, that's a great way to just kind of start to meet people, because you're new, or when people move into your community. So if they've moved into a new house or moved into a new apartment down on your hall or something, that's a great way to invite them. We've done, like, I've gotten like flowers and like a little, like a small gift, and my husband and I will go over and just introduce ourselves, give them a little card with our phone number on it, and say, hey, if you ever need anything, just let us know. Our phone numbers are in there. Let us know. We want to be neighbors that look out for each other and care for one another. And people are shocked, you know, when we do that.
But they've
taken us up on it. They've texted us and said, hey, can you, you know, get our mail or bring our trash can up, or we're whatever. And that's been super helpful.
Yes. And I love that you've lived this and modeled this, whether you've been in an apartment or in a suburban neighborhood, because this is applicable no matter where we live. There are people around us to some degree. If you live out on a farm like my friend, they might be a mile away, but they're still there. And so there's still a way to reach people and to love those around us. And again, I want to reiterate prayer. Absolutely. Just the significance of praying. And I love that you said it changes our hearts. It gives us a heart for our neighbors. Yeah. We were talking the other week about how awful it would be if we just cared so much about reaching the world and reaching our country or our state, but we neglected those that lived right down our street. And just making sure that we don't miss the opportunities that God wants to give us. We just need to pray for the heart, ask Him to give us the heart to reach them, and to give us opportunities when we're walking or whatever that may be, that we would be open to, though. And that if we do have a calloused heart towards our neighbors, that we would ask God to soften our hearts, to give us the ability to be able to love Him like He would love them.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah. This has been just amazing hearing of your experiences and just your advice. I feel like the practical tips have been so helpful, and we have just really enjoyed learning from you today. I've been really blessed to hear your voice, and again, we're just so thankful for Apartment Life and the ministry that they're doing and how you've been a part of that with Sam. And if you are listening and want to get connected with Apartment Life, feel free to click on the link and visit their site to see if there's one around you or if you can maybe start one in your area. Hannah, are there any other resources that you would like to share that have been useful to you in being a good neighbor?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, recently I found out about an app called Bless Every Home, where you can put in your name and your address, and it'll actually tell you the names of people who live near you, the homeowners of who live near you, and it'll give you reminders to pray for your neighbors every day. It'll send you the names of 5 of your neighbors, and you can pray for them that morning. So that has been huge in talking about praying for our neighbors. That has been a great tool for, first of all, remembering the names, because I think names are really important, and remembering the names of our neighbors, but also praying for them by name. So that's been just an awesome tool.
So we will include the link to Apartment Life and Bless Every Home. And if you're interested in using any of these resources, we encourage you to embrace these amazing opportunities to be a neighbor and wear that hat proudly.
Her Many Hats is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. To hear more from Emma, visit her site, emmadanzy.wordpress.com. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a minute and leave us a rating and review in your podcast app? It really does help us connect to more listeners like you. This podcast is produced by Kelly Givens and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Hello, hello. Quinice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.